Sunday, March 9th, the first Sunday of Lent. The Epistle from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Brethren, we exhort you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, In an accepted time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense to any man, that our ministry be not blamed, but in all things let us exhibit ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in tribulation, in necessities, in distress, in stripes, in prisons, in seditions, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, in chastity, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in sweetness, in the Holy Spirit, in charity unfeigned, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as needy yet enriching many, as having nothing and possessing all things. Haydock Commentary. We exhort you not to receive the grace of God in vain by resisting his interior graces by an idle or a wicked life. Now is the day of salvation by the coming of your Redeemer. In this reading, St. Paul shows his anxious solicitude not to give any the least occasion of scandal, lest some reproach might fall upon the ministry of the gospel. For nothing is more likely to cast a blemish on the sanctity of religion than the want of conduct in any of its ministers. The cry of all libertines will be, if what they say be true, why do their own lives correspond so little with what they say? The apostles maintained the character and fulfilled the duties of the ministers of Christ, equally in prosperity and adversity. They continued to speak the truth, though regarded by the Jews as seducers. Exposed to all kinds of dangers, they relied on God, who preserved them, though in the midst of dangers and of death itself. Though they possessed nothing in this world, yet God never permitted them to remain in want. His providence procured for them all things necessary. Though they had nothing in their possession, yet they procured relief for others by the alms of which they were made the disposers, though this latter part is generally understood of the spiritual riches which they bestowed upon their hearers. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. At that time Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter coming said to him, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Who answered and said, It is written, Not in bread alone doth man live, but in every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him upon the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written that he hath given his angels charge over thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest perhaps thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil took him up into a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said to him, All these will I give thee, if falling down thou wilt adore me. Then Jesus saith to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, The Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Haydock Commentary. Jesus Christ was led by the Holy Ghost immediately after his baptism into the desert, to prepare by fasting and prayer for his public ministry, and to merit for us by his victory over the enemy of our salvation, forced to conquer him also ourselves. By this conduct, he teaches all that were to be in future times called to his ministry how they are to retire into solitude in order to converse with God in prayer, and draw down the blessing of heaven upon themselves and their undertaking. What treasures of grace might we expect if, as often as we receive any of the sacraments, we were to retire within ourselves and shut out for a time the world and its cares? Then should we come prepared to withstand temptation, and should experience the divine assistance in every difficulty through life. The life of man is a warfare on earth. It was not given us, says St. Hilary, to spend it in indolence, but to wage a continual war against our spiritual enemies. In the greatest sanctity there are often the greatest and most incessant trials, for Satan wishes nothing so much as the fall of the saints. By these trials we learn the strength we have received from above, we are preserved from self-complacency and pride in the gifts of heaven. We confirm the renunciation we made in baptism of the devil and all his works and pomps. We become stronger and better prepared for future attacks, and are convinced of the dignity to which we have been raised, and of which the enemy of souls endeavors all he can to deprive us. So says St. John Chrysostom. Both St. John the Baptist and our Divine Master, by retiring into the wilderness for contemplation, prayer, fasting, and suffering, have given a sanction and an example to those holy men called hermits, who have taken shelter in their sanctified retreats against the dangers of the world. Jesus wished to manifest a certain corporeal weakness arising from his continued fast, that the devil might venture to tempt him, and after a fast of 40 days and 40 nights he was hungry. Christ was well acquainted with the thoughts of the wicked fiend, and his great desire of tempting or trying him. The devil had learnt that he was come into the world from the songs of the angels at his birth, and from the mouth of the shepherds and of St. John the Baptist. To fast 40 days without being hungry was certainly far above the strength of man, but to be hungry at any time is inconsistent with God, for which reason our blessed Savior, that he might not manifestly declare his divinity, was afterwards hungry. On his example, as well as that of Moses and Elijah, who also fasted 40 days, the fast of Lent was instituted by the apostles, and is of necessity to be observed according to the general consent of the ancient fathers. St. Jerome says, "We fast 40 days, or make one Lent in a year, according to the tradition of the apostles." St. Augustine says, "By the due observance of Lent, the wicked are separated from the good, infidels from Christians, heretics from Catholics." Our Savior fasted 40 days, not because he stood in need of it, as we do, to subject the unruly members of the body which lust against the spirit, but to set an example for our imitation. Another reason might be to prevent the captious remarks of the Jews, who might object that he had not yet done what the founder of their law, Moses, and after him Elijah, had done. The tempter, who looked upon this hunger as a favorable moment to tempt him and to discover if he were truly the Son of God, as was declared at his baptism, desired Jesus to change by a miracle the stones into bread to appease his hunger and to recover his strength. By this we are taught that amidst our greatest austerities and fasts, we are never free from temptation. St. Gregory says, "But if your fasts do not free you entirely from temptations, they will at least give you strength not to be overcome by them." The tempter is supposed to have appeared in human form, and the whole temptation to have been merely external, like that which took place with our first parents in paradise. It would have been beneath the perfection of Christ to have allowed the devil the power of suggesting wicked thoughts to his mind. Had Jesus Christ converted the stones into bread, the devil, according to St. Jerome, would have thence inferred that he was God. But it was Christ's intention to overcome the proud fiend rather by humility than power. Thus, if the first Adam fell from God by pride, the second Adam has effectually taught us how to overcome the devil by humility. When he says, "Man does not live by bread alone," these words were spoken of the manna in Deuteronomy 8:3. The sense in this place is that man's life may be supported by anything or in any manner as it pleaseth God. St. Gregory, upon this passage, says, "If our divine Redeemer, when tempted by the devil, answered in so mild a manner, when he could have buried the wicked tempter in the bottom of hell, ought not man, when he suffers anything from his fellow man, rather to use it to his advantage than to resent it to his own ruin?" Man consists of soul and body. His body is supported by bread, his soul by the Word of God. The three temptations comprise the three principal sources of sin: 1, sensuality; 2, pride; and 3, concupiscence. See the first letter of John 2:16. We may hope to conquer the first by fasting and confidence in divine providence, the second by humility, the third by despising all earthly things as unworthy of a Christian's solicitude. St. Augustine says, "Heretics quote scriptures, as the devil does here, in a wrong and forced sense. The Church cites them like Jesus Christ in their true sense, and to confute their falsehood. It is on this account that the Catholic Church wishes persons who come to the study of the most mysterious and difficult book ever published should bring with them some preparation of mind and heart, convinced that the abuse of the strongest and best food may be converted into deadly poison." The father of lies here promised what was not his to give. For though he be called the prince of this world, see John 12:31, meaning of the wicked who willfully make themselves his slaves, yet so restrained is the devil's power that he could not go into the swine till Christ permitted it, see Matthew 8:31. What arrogance, what pride! The devil promises earthly kingdoms, whilst Jesus promises a heavenly kingdom to his followers. Behold the pride of the devil's heart. As he formerly wished to make himself God, so now he wishes to assume to himself divine honors. St. John Chrysostom says, "It is remarkable that our Lord bore with the pride and insolence of the devil, who assumed to himself the honor due to God alone." The devil, having exhausted all his artifices, left him for a time. Whence we are to learn that, after we have resisted with success, we are not to think ourselves secure, but avail ourselves of the truce to return thanks to God for the victory, and to prepare for fresh combats, especially by fortifying ourselves with the bread of angels in Holy Communion. The temptations of Jesus Christ are to us a subject both of consolation and instruction. By example, he has taught us how to fight and conquer. The struggle may be painful, but angels as well as God witness our struggle, ready to crown our victory.